Welcome to BDO To Go, casual industry conversation brought to you by the restaurant industry professionals at BDO. The constantly evolving landscape of the industry forces operators and owners to adapt quickly and maintain a keen awareness of consumer and economic shifts. Understanding these business impacts and insights is key to the continued success and resilience of the restaurant industry. That's why we crafted our BDO To Go podcast series, a monthly podcast that you can take to go.
Welcome back, and thank you for joining us for another episode of BDO To Go. My name is Greg Thomas, and I'm co-lead of BDO's National Restaurant Industry Group and your host today. As we record this session, Tropical Storm Helene has made landfall in northern Florida as a Category 4 hurricane. The damage that this hurricane will inflict highlights the need for adequate property and casualty insurance. On this episode of BDO To Go, insurance expert Jeannie Hyland joins me to discuss the present state of insurance markets and what restaurant operators need to know today. Jeannie is Executive Vice President and the Restaurant and Hospitality Industry Lead of the Hyland Agency, one of the largest insurance agencies in the country focusing on the restaurant and hospitality industries. Welcome, Jeannie.
Thanks for having me, Greg. As a little more background on Hyland, we've been around for almost 90 years as a privately owned insurance agency, providing insurance and risk management services as a trusted advisor to our clients, not only in the U.S., but around the world. So we are very fortunate to have over 22 offices here in the U.S. and a solid office in Mexico City.
Well, let's get started with some questions about where we are in the insurance markets and some thoughts you might have about tricks and tips for our operators. First off, we're in the midst of the annual insurance renewal process for a number of restaurant operators. What's the overall state of the insurance markets as we head into 2025? And what do you think operators should expect to hear from their agents?
So to tell you right now, and sadly with a hurricane coming, it's not going to help anybody looking for property insurance, especially if you're in any sort of a coastal environment. But as everybody has probably felt the pain of insurance premiums going up every year for the last probably, almost 5 years, some years worse than others, we are starting to see that moderate some. Certain lines of coverage are still creeping up. General liability and umbrella are still feeling the pains of some other events like nuclear verdicts, very high litigation management going on that needs to be paid attention to. So that's going to be a challenge going into 2025. On top of that, the other challenge is that there are what we would call our standard insurance markets are starting to pull out of the restaurant industry class. I think what they have truly found out is with the way claims escalations are heading, they cannot make the money they need to make to have their teams focus on our industry, which is sad because now it's really shrinking the pool of places that we can go to find competitive quotes.
Yeah, I've been hearing that with our clients. One recent one is funny. You and I talked earlier in the week, and just this morning, I saw an email come through on one of our clients from their agency and about the renewal. And the two things that struck me, number one, was the desire of the incumbent carrier wanting to pull back, wanting to leave the market, and they were successfully encouraged to stay. But they reduced the umbrella by quite a bit, by one-third. And the premiums were going up, I think, 8 or 10%.
Yeah. So, I mean, to your point, they probably reduced the umbrella limit available and kept the price either the same or raised it. It's just the pressure that you can tell that they're feeling from the claims that are hitting them. The slip and falls, the liquor liability claims, they just, when you get in front of a jury, those verdicts are astronomical today.
And this isn't unusual, right? I mean, we've both been around the block and we've been in the industry for a long time. And this isn't an unusual situation where premiums go up and folks pull out of the market. I think we've seen in the past as well where folks have come back into the market. So, am I right about that?
I totally agree with that. 25 years ago, the same thing happened. There were, 25, 30 carriers that would write restaurants all day long. All of a sudden, there were like four. And now then we went back up to 25. When we go into a soft market, meaning where premiums start to come down, where there's capacity available, then you tend to get more players in the market because people are looking to write premium, because that's how all these underwriters are getting paid. They get bonused on hitting their premium goals for the year. So that's when you see that coming back around. This is a nuance just coming up in the last, I would say, 12 months on this pullout of the restaurant industry by the insurance markets.
Well, with the current state of these markets, is there anything that an operator can do to reduce their premium in the moment as well as proactively, and also guard against the cash flow impacts of any potential losses?
So my recommendation, I always try to put myself in your shoes, and if I were a restaurant operator, the first thing I would do is make sure I start that renewal process minimum 120 days in advance of my renewal. And then I would be asking my broker, tell me exactly what the market, the incumbent market, is telling you about my renewal. What is their guidance about where my premium will be when I bind coverage again? And then once you get that guidance, you can make determination about where you want to go. Do you want to go out to market with your current broker? Do you think you need to bring in other resources by competitively bidding out to with other brokers? Because not every agent or brokerage has a contract with every insurance company in the country, right? So I might represent somebody that, you know, an agency down the street doesn't represent. So you can get more players to the table. But I would start that process early, and then, because nobody wants bad news late, right? Because then your shoe pigeonholed into this bucket and you can't get out of it for another 12 months. And that's not really fair to you because you can't plan financially on that kind of a strategy. It's like a strategy of hope, and that's not a good one.
Right.
The other thing I would tell you to do, kind of to protect the business itself, is you want to make sure your property valuations are kind of on target, because your policy, your property policy, will never pay more than the limit that's on the policy. So if you have a building and you think it's, you know, the replacements cost is $2 million, and when the thing burns down to the ground, it costs you $4 million to rebuild it, well, that $2 million that you're missing, it's coming out of your pocket. And most businesses can't afford that kind of shared in the loss with the insurance carrier to get themselves back in business. So you really need to make sure you're doing your homework prior to your renewal to make sure that your valuations are in fact what they should be. And then you want to do a check-in on your risk tolerance, right? You know, maybe I've been sliding along for 10, 15, 20 years and I've got a $1,000 deductible. Well, maybe I'm okay. Maybe I should go to a $5,000 or a $10,000 or a $25,000 deductible. That's going to definitely reduce your premiums. And if you can afford it and you are not having the claims, then I would suggest going down that road. The more you can take risks, the better off you will be.
Well, one of the comments you just made there about valuations, you know, I think historically, at least it feels this way to me, that groups have looked at the values that they've historically put down in their policies and have gone over with their agents. But I don't ever remember anyone being proactive about what you just spoke about with replacement value, about going out and having somebody come in and look at what the value should be that you're putting down. And I would expect as well that your broker should really have a good grasp on where the policy limit should be going to.
Well, and I think there's some confusion for insurance over market value versus replacement costs. And as we all know, over the last 5 years, building materials and labor have gone up dramatically. That is what your replacement costs are based on. It's not market value. It's what does it cost to buy the materials, get the labor, and to rebuild that restaurant. So, I mean, a good replacement cost estimator coming from your broker can help, But there are firms out there that will do a replacement cost estimator for you that will be highly detailed and probably provide you a lot of insight into the construction of your buildings.
That's a great point. And I got to be honest, I don't know that I've ever heard anyone really say that over the last number of years. So that's a great tip.
They don't have to do it every year, Greg. They can go out and, you know, that's something you can do every 5 years. So you're not adding a lot of costs in your bucket during the course of the year to do this, but it's a good gut check on what those replacement cost values should be.
Okay. Well, you know, when we talk about insurance markets tightening up, at least for me, I think of really two things. One being insurance carriers pulling out of the market, out of the industry, as well as reducing coverage and increasing premium. And we touched on that a couple of times here. So I'm presuming that this is really due to carriers seeing more risk in the markets. You had mentioned really about profitability, which I guess goes back to risk, right? So are there any trends that you're seeing right now that are having an undue influence on how these carriers are assessing risk? And are these undue influences, whatever they are they largely outside of an operator's control?
I would say primarily yes, because really, well, let's start with the things that are outside control. The things that are outside your control are climate change. We're going to start with that. All we hear about now is convective storm, hurricanes, wildfires, flooding events, and it seems that every storm that hits is massive and intense, and the damage is also intense. Not, I mean, 10 years ago, we would not have seen these types of storms hit the United States. Of course, you know, you get the hurricanes that kind of were rolling seasonally, where you might get a really bad hurricane season, and then you might have three or four light ones, and then you'd get a really bad one. Now it seems that every year you get these category fours or fives that hit the country. Those are pretty much outside your control. And now insurance companies look at the property landscape as anything that's on the coast, basically anything in the middle of the country, because that's convective storm and hail damage. And then you've got California with all the wildfires. So it's almost hard to figure out where you need to be without having all these bad influences from weather affecting your insurance premiums. That's one thing you can't really control. The second thing you can't really control is what's going on with litigation funding. There are private equity companies out there now being formed that are funding claims so that they can go against the insurance companies and get as much out of that insurance policy as possible. Because everybody knows that pretty much at a minimum, there's $1 million per claim for every general liability claim. And if you have an umbrella, then you could, it's up to the limit of whatever that umbrella is. That is problematic. And as I mentioned earlier, when you get in front of these juries now, they're very free with somebody else's money. So it's really driving up the cost of a claim. It's dragging out the time of a claim. The longer a claim stays open, the more expensive it gets. That's kind of outside your control. You got to lean on your carrier on the claims management piece to try to help control that. But as an insured, it's kind of outside your control, except for collecting really good, solid detail at the time of a claim. But I think the one thing that you can do that is in your control is have a really strong risk management and safety program that will limit the claims from happening, right? Because if I don't have a claim, I don't have to manage it. So if you go into the idea that every claim is preventable, and you get that across to everybody that works for you, make it part of your culture, it is really going to help you control those losses, which gives you the best opportunity to have the lowest premiums possible and the best coverage.
In my experience, carriers are more than happy to have their safety experts come out and visit your stores. On a, well, I'd say regular basis, but I mean, certainly annually as you're going through a renewal process, just to provide you with insights about things that could be problematic.
Well, I would tell you that if you're not taking advantage of your insurance carrier's risk control services, which are free, you know, you're paying for those along with your policy premiums. That's just kind of baked in there. You should be. And so once you get through your renewal, the next meeting should be, what's the service plan look like for the year? Get with your broker, have the insurance risk control consultants at the table, figure out the service plan. How many locations are you going to go look at? Is it front of the house, back of the house? Are we focusing on work comp, general liability, property? You want to cover all your bases, wherever your problems are. And then even where they're not, because you don't want to start having problems where you don't. So take advantage of those. And your brokers may have risk control consultants that are available also to get on that team to stay on top of that. And the one thing also, you know, technology is a beautiful thing, right? Who isn't talking about AI and all the other tools that are available? Well, many brokers have available risk management libraries and learning management systems that can be out there for you to take advantage of to help educate your employees about safety guidelines, about good risk control techniques. You know, basically, if you see water on the floor, get that wet sign out. So those are things that you should be looking for to get some assistance with, which won't cost you any money. Might cost you a little time, but it won't cost you any money.
Does having risk management come out on a regular basis, like again, maybe it's every year at renewal, and documenting, does that really help offset any issues that the carriers may have at renewal? Meaning, will it go a long way towards keeping a carrier engaged on your account or potentially reducing premium?
Yes, it will. I'm glad you asked that question because, you know, a lot of carriers, they want to see how cooperative you're going to be as an insured. So when they come to you, you know, they come out, they do a risk control survey, they come back, they have all these recommendations, and you're like going, what am I going to do with this stuff? I don't really have the time. But if you make the time, you work with the carrier, you address the situations, I am telling you, they look at that at renewal and say, this is somebody we want as a client. They're doing all the things we ask them to do. They're working with us. They want to have a good shop. They're trying to make their restaurant as safe, both for employees and guests as possible. So anything you can do to prove that you are trying to reduce claims costs is good for you. It's good for them. The documentation is great because then you can use that documentation if you have to go to market, and you can use that as part of your story. Because I want to tell you that if you do go to market, your story is very important and you should be telling your story. I can't tell your story like you tell your story. I want you in front of the underwriter telling your story, and because it's very powerful and the underwriters love to be with insureds to hear all of the good things that they're doing inside their restaurants.
That's a great point. And it doesn't have to be scary. I think the better communication you have, everybody gets to know everybody, and it goes much smoother.
It does.
One follow-on question, we're talking about outside risk and climate change. You know, here in the Midwest, one of the biggest issues is during the winter are ice storms. And it seems that the ice storms are getting more and more destructive, and we have power outages more and more that last longer. You know, I mean, this past year, a couple here, you know, in the Michigan area have been very, very traumatic. And I know that they're for business interruption purposes, you know, there's a certain waiting period, right, to downline utility issues. Is there anything going on there? Are you finding that the carriers are increasing the wait periods or wanting to increase the wait periods?
If you want to decrease your wait period or decrease even the deductible, they're going to charge you more money for it. I know a lot of restaurant owners like to have a zero wait and a zero deductible. I will tell you, if you go to a 24-hour or 72-hour deductible, you're going to reduce your premiums, I think, enough where you're going to go, okay, well, maybe that's a good thing for me to do. I think the grid in this part of the country is very reliable. If you were in Texas, maybe not so much. But definitely in the Midwest, I think our grid's reliable. I think if you were out for 3 days, that would be kind of an anomaly. I know Michigan was out for, what was it, a week or 10 days in the spring, which seems really long. So obviously it was a widespread storm. The other thing that you need to know is a lot of carriers don't like to insure off-premises power failure, including overhead lines. And if you're in the Midwest, what do you think we have? If you look out your window, what do you see? A lot of overhead lines. And that ice gathers up on those lines and they come down pretty quickly. But make sure your policy is including some coverage for overhead lines. And by location, if you've got concentration of locations, you want to make sure it's by location.
All right. Okay. Well, another area of frustration for a lot of operators, or an area of frustration, is the impact of menu price increases on their insurance premiums. I mean, since premium is in part based on revenues, right, it seems on the surface that the carriers, with all this inflation over these last few years, are unduly benefiting from this menu inflation, which for some brands, you know, over the last 2 or 3 years, totals probably at least 20%. So is there anything there that you can think of that we can share with folks?
You know, it's a very interesting thought. And it would seem to me that if in fact they were benefiting unduly, the loss ratios would become very low, lower than they should be. So insurance companies typically like to underwrite, meaning they like to charge premiums to about 50 to 60% loss ratio. So if you're consistently at a 30% or 40% loss ratio, that's a conversation your broker should be having about applying credit or getting a reduced rate based on your loss experience. But from the carrier's perspective, they're looking at it as, I've got litigation funding going on. General liability claims are climbing at a rate literally unseen in our industry. They're not seeing that same kind of thought in their heads because they're not seeing it. Because they're looking at it globally, you're looking at it individually. Right. So you got to advocate for yourself, and your broker needs to advocate for you, and they can do it. They can do it, and there's probably some relief if you have, but you got to push for it. As they say, if you don't ask, you don't get.
Yeah, and I've seen that over the years, too. Be proactive with your broker. Don't sit back and let the broker come to you with, you know, here's this and that. You need to really know what you're doing and what they're doing. So a few final areas that we hear brokers and operators talk a lot about, and each individual area here is no small issue, is cyber coverage, as well as D&O directors and officers coverage, as well as employer liability coverage. And we haven't really talked about those yet on this podcast. What trends are you seeing in these three areas?
So cyber liability is not going away. I would say if you are not purchasing cyber liability, and I mean a full cyber policy, I'm not talking about the coverage that's put on your business owner's policy, because that's not going to take you very far, and you're going to be very disappointed if you have a claim and that's what you have to rely on. You need a full cyber policy. The threat actors are, as you know, there's not a day in the news you don't hear about some ransomware attack. I mean, when you start thinking about your suppliers, right? You may do all the right things from a technology perspective. You may have a really good technology consultant helping you kind of shore up your systems and your networks. But if your suppliers don't, and all of a sudden you're not getting your food order, then you're going, well, I can't make lunch. I can't make dinner. Because you never got your order because their systems went down because they couldn't fulfill orders, or logistically they couldn't get them out. So the supply chain management has become kind of the newest threat on the cyber front. A full cyber policy provides coverage for supplier cyber events. It covers you and your lost income.
So there's a great question for someone to ask their broker, right? I did not know that. So that's great information.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, that would be because that's one of those things that's outside your control. The other thing you need to know about cyber is if you don't have MFA, multi-factor authentication, on all of your devices, you will not be able to buy a cyber insurance policy because the carriers will now require it. And going through that application process is the best thing you're going to do for yourself. Get your consultants involved. They'll help you get through that app, but it will find the vulnerabilities in your system. The great thing about these cyber policies is they come with all sorts of services. They're going to scan your systems. They're going to tell you where the problems are. You get to fix them before you have a breach, before a bad actor gets in and either throws up ransomware on your system, steals your data, does social engineering. And these aren't small claims. These ransomware claims, they come after you for, 300 Bitcoin. And they also give you the ability to, click a button to go buy 300 Bitcoin. And if you looked at Bitcoin pricing lately, you can see these claims can be in the millions and millions of dollars. The other thing that these policies do is they provide you the full back end of services when you do have a claim, from crisis management services to defense services to forensic services. They're going to do negotiation with a bad actor over a ransom. So this policy is well worth the money.
And one of the things I'm seeing is with the advent of catering, in a big way. I mean, post-COVID, catering is obviously an off-prem opportunity for a lot of operators. And a lot of these operators are working with larger companies on the catering side. Let's say, a Fortune 500 company wants to do a large catering, and the contract requires them now to have cyber. So it's not just, there's these threats out there. It's, you may be required to do it depending on how your business is going.
More and more contracts are requiring cyber liability. Most franchisors are requiring cyber liability of their franchisees now. It's a good business practice. To me, cyber is more like employment practices liability was 25 years ago when it first came on the market and people were talking about employment wrongful acts. And I have to buy insurance policy for that now. Well, now you wouldn't even think of operating your business without it, right?
Right. Right.
That's how cyber is today. It's exactly where cyber is going.
It's one of those things, how things are moving forward. Now, when I think about property casualty, even 25 years ago, the big guard that you were erecting was against fire, let's say, or something like that, right? But it seems like the employer liability issues and the cyber issues are overtaking the risk associated with a fire. You just don't see that many of the fire instances, but you see an awful lot of this, whether it's in the media or otherwise.
Now there's these great oil management systems, and we've got all this great technology about infrared testing that can help ferret this stuff out before it erupts into a fire. So it's shifted the risk. And society has shifted the risk to other areas of operations, based around people, employees, customers. So it was just a shift.
Well, let's talk a little bit about D&O coverage, directors and officers as well, because this does come up periodically. And I don't think that a lot of folks have a real good understanding of what that really covers and when it's really necessary. Within this industry, obviously, you have a whole bunch of different ownership structures, not knowing what the percentages would be, but I would guess that probably, let's say half of all restaurants out there are owned individually or with just a small group of family and friends. But then you have the others that are owned through equity funds or what have you. When should you really be thinking about D&O?
So D&O coverage, it's known as kind of a catch-all coverage in a way. It's on generally broadly, it's to cover management decisions of the company. And I know that sounds like a very broad statement, and it is. And there are obviously exclusions in the policy where coverage is found in other policies. But for a privately owned restaurant company that might have a group of shareholders, that could be a risk. because if one of those shareholders decides to sue the company and, you know, some of the major shareholders for their inability to run the business or their mismanagement of the business, that's the policy that's going to protect not only the company, but the personal assets of the individual directors and officers of the company. And I don't know anybody on this call who would want their personal assets at stake.
Right.
And on top of that, the D&O, if you put it with the employment practices policy and perhaps your fiduciary liability policy, you package up those three policies together, that is a really good use of insurance dollars. And if you're already buying employment practices liability, if you slap a D&O policy attached to that policy, it's going to have its own limit, but it will not cost you nearly what you think it might. If nothing else, get a quote, right? It doesn't hurt to get a quote. You don't have to buy it if you don't like the premium, but the protection that it will bring is pretty important. Let's just say you got sued by a competitor. That's where that would land, is on your D&O policy. So there's some really good uses. Obviously, public companies have D&O policies that are structured very differently from privately held companies.
Right.
But the importance of the coverage is still there.
So we've talked a lot about a variety of different types of policies here. And one that we haven't spent any time on is umbrella. So of all these different coverages, Jeannie, which ones can be covered under an umbrella and which ones cannot be?
Okay. I'm going to make this very simple so everybody gets it. An umbrella policy comes on top of your primary liability policies, your general liability, your auto liability, your employer's liability, and your liquor liability if, in fact, you sell liquor, right? Those are the policies that it comes on top of. It does not come on top of any sort of professional liability, D&O policy, employment practices liability policy, or cyber policy. If you need to buy more limit on those policies, then you're going to do it individually in those towers. So if I want a D&O policy with 5 million, I'm going to buy a policy that has 5 million just for the D&O. If I want 3 million for employment practices, I'm going to buy a policy just for that. Even though they can be combined on a package and you're going to get some benefit for that, you can buy different limits. But those are not covered underneath an umbrella policy.
All right. Great to know. So, Jeannie, I really want to thank you for joining me today. This has been educational and always topical. So it's been great catching up with you and hearing your thoughts on where the markets are going and some tips for the operators and what they should be thinking about.
Thank you for having me. I've been really looking forward to this, and I've enjoyed my time today with you, Greg.
Excellent. Well, and to our listeners, I hope that you found some opportunities in our conversation and some great insights that Jeannie brings to the world of restaurant insurance. And as always, feel free to contact us with any questions that you might have. So until next time, cheers.
Thank you for listening to BDO To Go. Past episodes and related insights are available at bdo.com/BDO To Go. Or you can go to iTunes or Spotify to rate, review, share, or subscribe to this podcast. The views expressed by our guests do not necessarily reflect the views of BDO. For more information on BDO's restaurant industry practice and the resources we provide, visit www.bdo.com/restaurants.